Blog Talk Radio.
Well, there won't be any music tonight. It won't come up. It's all right. We'll get ready to go to the Lord in prayer. Well, I greet all of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit, Father, to come forward and to speak. Speak through me, Father, so that the words are not mine, they're yours. And that we can grow, Father, in strength, in stability, and in the Spirit. And in our faith, Father, putting all of our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study. And I'm asking this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Got everything ready. We'll get ready and take our communion. So if you get your bread, we know that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Take your bread. And after the same manner, also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Take your cup. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. All right. If you will now, turn with me over here to John chapter 12. We're just getting ready to get into the main part of this Gospel of John. Now, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment and spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, 5, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because He was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. 7. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Now, you know, in looking at those verses, here is a study of the character of Martha, Mary, and Judas. Note that Martha serves, and nothing has changed since the early similar occasion recorded in Luke. The place of this supper is the house of Simon the leper, and Jesus and Lazarus are honored guests. Mary worships, and she anoints Jesus for his burial. And in John's gospel, she anoints his feet. Matthew and Mark record how she poured the ointment on his head. And we know, though, that she had really evidently done both. And each one of these just recorded one. There would be no time for anointing later. And observe that Jesus, or Judas, rather, he covets the 300 denarii, which is almost a year's wages. 1 denarius a day was a day's wage for labor. The other disciple evidently agreed with Judas that this is wasteful. John portrays Judas as a thief. He had the bag that is, and he was the treasure. Well, we know that because it is recorded in other places also. Now, here in verse 9, of the Jews, therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. He had gotten to be well known, and what had happened to him was also becoming well known. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Now they want to kill him too because Jesus raised him from the dead. These chief priests back then were not good men. And they sure was not wanting to accept the Lord Jesus Christ at all. And a lot of them still to this day has not, because a lot of the Jewish people are still going by the Mosaic law, which has been fulfilled and is gone, because it could not do what needed to be done. And the law, as we know, and as it's been recorded, was a shadow, just a shadow of good things to come. And you find that back in Hebrews, telling you that. Now, 11. Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. You see, that's why they wanted to put Lazarus away, because in seeing him and seeing him alive after him being dead, knowing that Jesus was the one that raised him, now they're beginning to believe in Jesus, and the priests and Pharisees are strictly against that. Now, 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, 13, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. We know that this word Hosanna is Hebrew for save now. Now here in 15 or 14, and Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. Now he's on one. He's riding this ass's colt that had never been rode before. You see, his authority even extends over the animal kingdom, which we know even over the fish world. 16. These things understood not his disciples at the first. So when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. Now, this glorified signifies resurrected and ascended. Witnesses of the raising of Lazarus gave their testimony, and people come out to see Jesus because of this miracle. Now, 17, the people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. 18, for this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. 19, the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. Now they're saying the world is gone after him. We know that they was not that many, but they were beginning to be multitudes that had started in believing and following him. There were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. Now, 21. The same came therefore to Philip, which was at Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew, and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. 25. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. You know, whenever we see love and hate contrasted, we should understand that love for the one is so undivided that it may appear as hate for the other, although it is not necessarily so. You know, disciples hating mother and father, God hating Esau. But these things are not what we really are to be concerned with, because you and I are not to hate anyone. Now, we are to hate the sin, the evil, but not the one that is doing that sin or that evil. We are to be praying for them that they come to light, and that light being Jesus, and repenting of their evil and their sin, and giving their lives unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and being forgiven, so that they also can make heaven their home. But how many really do this? And especially today in our land here, not many, and not near as many as should. 27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. That is Jesus speaking there. And he's asking, what shall I say? Shall he ask the Father to save him from this hour and him not to have to go through with it? But he's letting them know that this is exactly why he came to the earth. 28. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. 29. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. You see, even those that have become even new believers and follow me, they still don't get a lot of understanding. Because, you see, there's still something missing. I'm going to give you just a moment here to think about it. What is it that is missing that causes them not to understand what is said and what is done along the way? And that is the giving and the anointing of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. 30. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sake. It didn't come. That voice wasn't speaking for the sake of Jesus. It was speaking for their sakes, those that would hear it. But you see, there were a lot of them, they really didn't hear it, because they didn't understand what was going on. Now, 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. 32. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me. Because you see, the only way you and I or anyone else can get into heaven is by going through him. There is no other way at all. And then we must become born again, just as John told us in chapter 3 when we came through there. Now, 33. This he said, signifying what death he should die. 34. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? See how little they are understanding, and they're right there with it. But you see, there again, that anointing, infilling, and baptism of the Holy Spirit is still missing. It has not been given yet. And without it, they don't have the understanding that they should have. Now, 35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. And he is that light. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. 36. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. They'd seen all these miracles, all he had done, the healing of the blind, the deaf, the woman with the blood issue for 12 years, the raising of the dead. They've seen all of this, and still, they are not believing on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? You see, you find that back in Isaiah 53, when long about verse 1. Think about this. You know, we don't stop and think, really, about a lot of things that's going on in the world. But in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 1, it reads, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Carbuncles and all thy brothers' borders, that one page to them. And he goes on in from one there to been revealed. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form of comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. But you see, thing about it is, it was prophesied 400 years before the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about this. That's why we know that the Word of God is true. Because no promise, no covenant that God ever made with man that has not come true except the coming of Jesus that we are waiting on right now. But it will happen just like he said it would. Just exactly like he said it would, that's the way it'll happen. Now, 39. Therefore, they could not believe because that Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. Now, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the healer. He is our physician. 41, these things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. These are things that, see, God had shown to Isaiah 430 years before Christ was born. Now, 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out the synagogue. For they loved the Pharisees, they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Always themselves. 44. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. He's letting them know that there is one yet greater than him, which is the Father that sent him, that he has told them about so many times. 46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words has one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. He, you see, he will be judged by this word and how it has been with him during his life and whether or not he is walking in it and by it and with it at the time he stepped out of this life and into the next. Now, 49, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say, and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father saith unto me, so I speak. And you and I need to be speaking the words of this Bible throughout our lifetime. And not only speaking it, but living it. Bringing it off of these pages into our hearts and bringing it to life by living it, walking with it, walking in it, and walking with the Lord Jesus Christ in and by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. These are things that we need in our lives in order to make heaven our home. And without them, you'll never make it. And they're not my words. Because if you've had your Bible and you are following with me, you see that they are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and of those that he is talking to and dealing with. What about you? Where are you with him? How are you with him? And are you walking in obedience unto this word? Most are not today, because they have too much of this world in their lives that they will not turn loose of long enough in the study of his word. They're not spending time in friendship and fellowship with the Lord our God and the Lord Jesus Christ, nor the Holy Spirit. Because you see, it's all to most today about myself. And I just don't have the time. I have to make a living, or I have to do this, or I have to do that. And we put that before the Lord God. There'll be a day and time you're going to step out of this life and into the next. And you're going to be sorry and regretful. And then it will be too late. We'll be stopping here. We have finished with chapter 12. God willing, we'll get into 13 in the morning. And we'll be dealing with a little more controversy in the morning among our churches. But let us now go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, close your word. I thank you for your word, Father. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you for the times that we can come together to share your word and to show our love for each other and for you and the Father and the Holy Spirit for the things that you have done for us. And now we are praying for Israel. Jerusalem, that they will have peace. But more so than that, Father, that they will all come to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, Israel. Father, will be known as the land of Jesus. In this land of ours, Father, as we are together and as we pray for this land, those that are sitting in our high offices of our government that is filled with all this evil, Father, I pray they be replaced and replaced with those that are walking in righteousness, that love you, Father, love the Lord Jesus Christ, loves your church, your people, and this land, and will work with us to bring this land to repentance, Father, and to put our government back on the foundation which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I now lift up those, Father, in my heart that is dear to me, Father. They are with me. They love you, Father, also. Any powers that are asleep, Father, Amy, Tom, Jacob, Bobby and Millie, Sue, Daryl, Debbie, Father, for that young couple that is in need of the Lord Jesus Christ, Courtney and Shane, for my wife and all, Father, there in Brandenburg that's in that nursing home, and for all of our families, Father, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and each member of our family, sisters, brothers, cousins, aunts, uncles. Father, we pray for them all to be in health, to be kept safe, that they will love you, Father, because you love them, and that they will be able to make heaven their home. And Father, bring us all back together in the morning at 10 a.m. Eastern time, back into your word. This, Father, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Have a good night, all.